You have received the new world order. My name's Klaatu, and I'm on the road. Now, in anticipation of having, of knowing that I was going to be traveling for a couple weeks, I did a bunch of episodes in advance. Unfortunately, I left those episodes on my computer at home, the recording studio that I've got set up for myself, such as it is. Totally left it on that computer. And to make matters worse, since I am undergoing a house move very soon, I kind of started packing up the computer. So it's not really in a good state of even having someone turn it on remotely so that I can log in and publish the episodes. So essentially what you're getting now is me on the road doing a frantic update as I am currently stuck in Richmond, Virginia. I am stuck here because the Greyhound company, the bus company that sort of is the, I guess, the biggest nationwide bus company in America, they forgot to schedule a driver, apparently, for the bus that is supposed to take me from Richmond, well, me and 49 other people, from Richmond, Virginia, down to Raleigh, North Carolina, at 2:40 a.m. in the morning. Quite an experience. So I'm just rattling off this episode while I wait. I don't have a whole lot to say because I'm not really sure how much battery I have left on this device or how much longer I'm going to be waiting around for a bus. So what I will say, though, is that there's been this thing that I've been thinking about lately, and it is the word open. And as we all know, by now, words are really, really tricky things because there's the thing that they've been declared to mean, there's the thing that they imply, and then there's the evolution of all of that, and sort of the combination of how people actually use the word and what they actually mean when they say it, and so on. And it's a non-stop sort of battle for understanding. A lot of people see it as a non-stop battle for ownership of a word, and I have come to realize that that's not really a realistic goal. So, for instance, the idea that we can define free software and insist that the word free does not refer to $0, in American English at least, it's very, very difficult to convince people of that, because to a lot of people that word free simply means $0, which has a certain level of irony, given that America tends to be to sort of hold the word freedom very, very probably sanctimoniously precious, that the word free then would only refer to $0 has a certain level of irony to it, I think. But nevertheless, that's what we see when we say free software. We know that many people hear software that you can download and not have to pay for, and it's okay. And for a while I was thinking, well, you know, that term open source is actually a pretty good replacement for it. And while there are assertions that there are problems with the term open source, that the term open source doesn't imply the liberated aspect of the code involved, I felt like open source at least hit nearer to the mark sometimes in certain crowds than the term free software. And I kind of tended to take it on a case-by-case basis and try to mix them in together sometimes and so on, but yeah, I felt like open source was a pretty good approximation, but lately I've noticed that even the term open is becoming a little bit confused in terms of what it means. And in a way, this isn't even accidental. Like, in some ways, I think that a lot of organizations that push open source are also pushing this understanding of the word open to mean a lot more than what I think it really means when paired with the second word, source. And open source does have a definition. Like, if you go to the Open Source Initiative, opensource.org, you can find a definition of what open source is, and it was defined early on. Like, it was a very, it's a constructed term. A lot of people don't really realize that, I don't think, or they don't think about it, that people literally sat down and thought of it in a kind of, we need a brand kind of way. Like, it was not accidental. It was not a thing that was, I guess, coined offhandedly or whatever. I mean, it was something that was very much constructed, and people talked about it and debated it and continued to debate it as to what it implies and what it means and what it must be to be open source, like to have that brand stamp of, yes, I am open source. What do you need for that? And they have a very specific set of requirements. It's a definition of open source. And even so, even with that definition existing, there are people out there who use the word open a lot differently than how it is intended in the software world. And by intended, I mean it was first used as the brand open source. Like that, no one ever called software open before open source. You called it maybe shareware or freeware or free software, but you didn't call it proprietary or in-house. You never called it open. That was a completely new sort of spin on this idea of software that was developed with its source code openly distributed so that people could look at that code. Like, it was very, very intentional. And it had that specific meaning. But nowadays you see, I mean, certainly, I guess, the classic, the worst case, I guess, the whole open core thing, right? Where a company, it's always a company, comes in and says, okay, well, we're open core, and they draw a lot of support because of that, because it's got that word, open, and everyone looks at that, and they think that's really exciting, and then they clarify, you know, it's open core, meaning you can, all of our source code is available. Mind you, they generally phrase it like that, too. All of our source code is available, except that one piece, you know, the piece that makes it work. And that's usually how it's phrased. So they're trying to emphasize the fact that they're open source, except sort of the part that brings it all together and makes it functional. And they say that as a benefit. Like this is not just, this isn't an apology. This is something that they have thought about and they admire about themselves, that they have made all of the components open source, except the part that makes it that makes it a system, a complete system. And by omitting the part that brings together the system into cohesion, they have found the one hack that makes open source profitable, which is to not be open source, apparently, and to be proprietary at your core. Do they call it proprietary core? No, of course not. They call it open core. Why would they ever do that? I don't know. I mean, it is such an obvious kind of manipulation of wordplay. Luckily, I'm not seeing it so much anymore, and I'm hoping that it's kind of died off. On the other hand, what is happening is that companies are still positioning themselves as sort of allies of open source, or open source friendly, or companies that love open source, or companies that make code with love for open source developers. You know, the phraseology here is so complex and so deliberate. I mean, it really is. It is truly deliberate, and it's funny that it is so deliberate, because I usually think that people who analyze the speech or the linguistics of things, I tend to kind of get that feeling that they're overanalyzing it, maybe inserting a lot more deviousness into it than maybe intended and so on. But in this case, I don't think an argument that it is not devious. I mean, because it is very deliberate, right? They know that they are using the word open and possibly open source because they know that it is going to attract a certain crowd and a certain amount of attention. And as I've said in the past couple of episodes, that's a great problem, I think, to have. To be in the open source world right now, and to be such, to be seen as such a default way of doing things, that companies will rip your brand off in order to be aligned with you. Like, if you said that that was going to be a problem for open source at any point in the past, you know, more than 2 or 3 years ago, I think people would have just said, you're dreaming. It's never going to happen. Open source is not going to get that big. It can't get that big. It's not unified enough to be that big. It's too all over the place. And yet here we are, a bunch of diverse developers and users and contributors from all walks of life and from all over the globe. We don't even claim ownership of the open source brand as such, and yet there it is. People are ripping off that brand in order to be aligned, essentially, with us, with you and me. Not directly with you and me, right? But with the thing that we partake in, which isn't really an industry, and yet it drives a whole industry. Point is, they know they've got targets, and they know that a lot of those targets are all about open source. And so if they use that word open, maybe the word open source, or maybe the two words together, and if they do something to put a positive spin on that, then that's all they'll need to do to attract those numbers. I think there's a lot of danger there, because it gets very confusing. It gets confusing for people who are experienced, and it gets confusing for people who are inexperienced. I've come across several projects that use the word open so much, open API, open core, open this, open that, that unless you are particularly closely analyzing it, you will assume that it is open source. Because why would anyone talk that much about open source and openness and all these other things if they weren't indeed open source? I mean, heck, the way that some places talk, you would swear that were you to walk into their office, you would not find a piece of closed source software as far as the eye can see. And yet that's just not the case in practice. You've got organizations talking a lot about open source or openness or open core or open whatever, open code, open API, and yet they're not open source. They don't meet the qualifications of an open source project. And I think that using open in that way is a little bit dangerous, and it's something that we should all be vigilant against. You kind of have to be, because if you just gravitate towards the things with the right branding, the right shade of whatever color, blue or orange or whatever, and you think that's got to be open. They say they're open, and they look open, they seem open. Got a lot of very excited community forums and posts where people seem to be very excited to work on this thing. And surprise, surprise, if you actually try to get to that open source code, turns out there's none. There is no open source code. Everything else is open, but not the part that you really need. So how do you fight against that? How can you be vigilant against that? Well, one way, I think the first way, the primary way, is to go to the source. I hope I said that before in a show. I'm going to try to say it more often, I think, because it really, really is important. And it's one of those things that, on one hand, I think it can be a little bit of a dangerous phrase, because it assumes that people can go to the source and make sense of it. And that's not always true. I mean, sometimes just intoning, go look at the source code, to someone is basically like telling them to, it's even worse than telling them to read the manual, really, you know, because yes, they can look at the things that are written, but if they don't understand it, if they don't comprehend it, then it's useless. But for those who feel like they might be able to make heads or tails of some source code, or if someone is simply looking to confirm that the source code is available, then the only answer is to go to the source. Go get that source code. If a organization or a project or whatever is saying that they are made with love for open source developers, or if they're expressing how much of a fan of open source they are, or if they're touting that they have an open API or an open this or an open that, find the open source code and look at it and confirm that it is available. And as I have come to learn, grab a copy of it. If you don't have a copy of the source code for the stuff that you are running, you have only about half, maybe a third of that application. And I say that with a newfound urgency and emphaticism based on some recent experiences with some quote-unquote open projects. You need to have a copy of the thing that you believe you are openly participating in. Because if you don't, then the openness is really only temporary. It's open for now, but if it goes away, then you've lost everything. You don't really want that. And ideally, I think that's one of the things that the Federation and the Mastodon and all those similar projects are trying to combat. But it goes just as well for source code. I mean, you can have all the open source you want on a site like GitHub, which is actually a great example of a non-open source company. And if they decide to get rid of those projects or to make those projects private for some argument, you'd have to sign up with them with more data about yourself or something, who knows? And that source code is essentially as good as gone to you. It's no longer open. It doesn't exist. So go to the source is my point. Find the open source code that a project is either implying is available or is touting as available. Call every project's bluff. You have to find that source code. You have to get a copy of it. Ideally, look at it and or compile it or whatever needs to be done with it to make sure that it's actually functional. You want to look at that stuff to find out if the company is actually open source. You also want to get kind of a feel for what they mean when they say open source, or that they're friendly to open source. Because there are things that are open source, and then there's stuff that's open source. So I think one would be in spirit and one would be by letter. I mean, open source stuff that, let's say, Apple does. Some of it is open source in spirit. Cups, I would argue, is pretty darn open source in spirit and in letter. They didn't invent cups. They imply that they developed cups. They certainly don't let you know that, they don't make it clear on their site, at least last I looked, that it was developed completely independently of Apple for years and years and years, and then they purchased the product. And so now it is an Apple product. So I think probably in a couple of years, there will be users out there who just naturally assume that cups is an Apple technology and always has been. But then there's other stuff that they do that's really kind of just open source, just sort of by letter of the law, it's open source. So here's this definition of open source. Yes, you can do all of those things that the open source definition demands, so we can say that it's open source. But we're not going to help you in any way get that stuff bootstrapped and working. We're not going to respond to bug reports. We're not going to fix things. And that's fine. That's their prerogative. That is, that if it's still open source, then it is still open source. But whether or not you want to hang out with such a company might be affected by sort of the way that they treat their open source. Is that source code a first-class citizen? Or is it something that they make sure that they have available because this one thing from their lawyer, when they called stuff open source, says that they have to do that thing? Then, yeah, maybe that's Maybe that is technically open source, but I don't know if that's really a healthy form of open source necessarily, or is not as healthy as it could be. And I think under, you know, you can find an exception or an edge case whereby that is an extreme, that's an extreme view. You know, just because you have a collection of source code shouldn't mean that you have to then present it on a silver platter to everyone who asks about it. But I think you have to take it in context, too. I mean, after all, Apple has billions of dollars in the bank, and they capitalize a lot off of their apparent affinity for open source development, and they do very little to show for it. And I would dare say that Microsoft has done as much in, what's it been, like 4 years that they went on their open We Love Open Source campaign. I think they've done more in 4 years than Mac has done since probably the beginning of OS X, which is when they really started capitalizing on the open source buzzwords. You can argue with me that on that. I'm very willing to hear arguments about that and a debate about that, as long as you provide examples. And examples with data to back it up, because I've got quite a lot of insight, shall we say, on the way that Apple operates from the inside. So, yeah, you'll want to show me mailing list posts and things like that to really effectively argue what I'm saying. So, yeah, point being, you want to look at the companies that are offering this openness and discover what they mean when they say openness. Because I'm as much of a fan of community and camaraderie and working together and teamwork and all that other stuff as the next person. But if you're going to deliberately use that branding, open source, to try to capture a little bit of that market, you need to go the extra, I'm not even going to say it's an extra mile, the extra couple of feet and actually deliver on what you know that word actually means to people. That's everything I've got. I think there's probably a bus driver coming from across town now, so I should probably go. I'm going to leave you with some of the audio that I've recorded over the course of the morning. I think it presents some flavor of what I've experienced. Thanks for listening. I will talk to you next time.
I mean, it is something that's something. Final.